force, whip in her hand. Ryan evaded the steel tip by ducking low over the fuel tank, shifting gears and jumping the cycle out of her path. Flora was almost to the edge of the field. She swerved expertly, lifting her bike up on its rear wheel, then brought it around without the front tire touching the ground. Ryan was impressed, but he wasted no time gaping at her. He crouched behind the handlebars and swooped at Flora before she could set her wheels firmly and upshift to a higher gear. She evidently expected such a tactic. Her whip opened up Ryan's left sleeve. It stung like liquid fire, but the skin remained intact. As he turned the handlebars, abruptly changing direction, his cycle's front wheel struck Flora's machine. She swayed in the saddle, but managed to keep her balance. Ryan lifted his whip, aiming for her face. Flora avoided it by leaning gracefully to one side. There was a great cloud of dust as Flora drove up the field. Ryan massaged his left arm and directed his motorsport to follow in her wake. The battle of skill continued as the sun rose higher over the arid field. Dust hung heavily in the air, like curtains of dirty chiffon. With his right hand, Ryan tried to wave the grit and dirt particles away from his face. Fleur chose that instant to ride up on his right side, his blind side. The whip ripped Ryan's pants and the thigh beneath it. Another stroke shredded his shirt front and raised a welt across his ribcage, but Ryan managed to catch the snaking metal end of the whip. He gave it a yank, at the same time feeding the motorsport more throttle. Fleur had to release the whip's handle or be pulled from her mount. She relinquished her grip. She then pursued him with her bowie knife held aloft. Ryan was beginning to feel his vitality ooze from the wounds he had received from Fleur's whip and those from dog's manhandling less than 12 hours before. Fleur came abreast of him on his left and struck with her knife. Ryan blocked the disemboweling thrust with the handle of his whip, but in doing so, he was nearly unseated.
Shit!
He was forced to drop the lash to keep from laying down his bike. He unsheathed the Ponga, but was unable to use it. He had to keep both hands on the handlebar grips to maintain his balance on the wobbling machine. Flora crowded him, backing the motorsport to the edge of the field. She hacked at Ryan with a buoy. Though his Ponga was longer, it was all Ryan could do to block her swipes and stabbing thrusts. Trying to maneuver away from her, he felt himself slipping out of the saddle, losing control of the bike. All Fleur had to do was ride hard and bump the Husky into the motorsport, and he would be sprawled out on the ground, helpless. Ryan fought to hang on, to keep the bowie knife from spilling his guts all over the field. Fleur's knife inscribed a figure-eight pattern through the air, and he felt the cold fire of a graze across his left shoulder blade. Ryan raised the Ponga to parry another thrust from the bowie. Steel hilt locked against steel hilt. Fleur maintained the pressure, pushing against Ryan's knife with all her strength, their sweaty, dirt-streaked faces only inches away from each other. The strain against the force exerted by Fleur overbalanced him, and Ryan had no choice but to drop his blade or fall. Letting go of the Ponga, he twisted his torso to one side. The bowie blade skipped past his upper arm. Fleur lost her balance, and she nearly toppled face first from the saddle. Putting both hands on the grips and twisting the front wheel to the right, Ryan cut back on the throttle at the same time. Fleur's cycle sped past Ryan, and he slipped out of the trap, gliding off in the opposite direction. He regained control of his mount, wincing at the pain in his shoulder blade, concentrating on a new problem. Fleur knew he had dropped his weapon, and Ryan suspected when she charged him again, she would be completely on the offensive, doing her best to slice, stab, eviscerate, and decapitate him. Ryan's quick assessment was correct. She swung her buoy, eye ablaze with triumphant fury. To evade her savage slashes, Ryan leaped forward, then backward. He noted that at the end of every stroke, the momentum of her arm would pull up her far knee and loosen the grip of her thighs on the saddle. She veered toward him again, swinging the knife in a downward chopping arc. Ryan planted the sole of his boot against the woman's ribcage. She struggled to maintain her balance and keep her grip on the knife. Ryan broke away from Fleur and rocketed his motorcycle up the field. He leaned down at full speed and retrieved his fallen Ponga. Spinning the motorsport about, he turned to face the infuriated Fleur. She rode toward him full tilt, knife held out like an accusing finger. Before Ryan could maneuver, the motorsport and the Husky collided. Both of them were hurled to the ground. The shock of impact jarred Ryan, causing the sky to grow dim for an instant and set his head to throbbing. He rolled over just as Floor, knuckling grit from her eye, arose and rushed at him.
Yeah!
Ryan moved to one side, and the buoy bit into bare earth. At the same time, he threw up one leg, and the toe of his boot sank into her lower belly. She jackknifed over his foot and fell. Ryan was on his feet as the woman started to rise. He sidekicked the hand that held the buoy. Her wrist bone shattered, and the knife skittered across the ground. Fleur lunged sideways, scrabbling with her good hand across the ground, reaching for the knife. Ryan brought the heel of his boot down on her hand. He pressed down with all of his weight. Ryan stepped back, and Fleur struggled to her feet again, using only her legs. This time, the heel of Ryan's boot connected squarely against her forehead. Fleur's one eye rolled back in her head, and she flopped flatly on her back. Ryan stared down at her, the conga hanging from his hand.
Sniper!
Kill her!
Yeah, kill her!
Ryan's body ached, and his shirt tail was a sodden-soaking mass from the blood leaking from his shoulder wound. He surprised the spectators, and to an extent himself. He slid the knife through his belt, turned, and started walking toward the dais where Hellstrom sat. Ryan looked around and saw Christy and Jack in the crowd. He hoped JB, Doc, and Mildred were nearby. As he reached the foot of the platform, Hellstrom waved a hand.
This is it, Cawdor. Fleur is yours. Chop her to fish bait or take her as a slave. Your prerogative.
Ryan glanced over his shoulder. Two men had propped up Fleur and were dragging her forward.
The law of the jungle.
The law of Charlie. The law of Hellskell. The law of Deathlands.
Someone handed Ryan Fleur's knife. The woman was dumped unceremoniously at his feet. She was conscious now, though dazed and disoriented. She stared up at him as he stood over her. There was fear in her eye, but her lips curled in a sneer. Ryan looked at her for a very long moment, from the toes of her dusty boots to the top of her tangled mass of hair. Finally, he rested his gaze on her hands. They were discolored, swollen, twisted at unnatural angles. He stooped over, not averting his eye from her face. He laid the buoy knife beneath the heel of his boot. He stamped down and yanked up sharply on the handle at the same time. The blade snapped. Turning away, Ryan dropped the useless hilt onto Floor's lap and turned back to face Hellstrom, who was smiling a faint smile of bemusement.
I want your decision, Cawdor. Now.
Back in his room at the salon, Mildred bathed, disinfected, and examined Ryan's wounds. Only the shallow knife slash on his shoulder blade warranted stitches. Now Ryan stoically sat through the operation.
What you tell him, Ryan?
Ryan started to shrug.
Ryan, hold still, or I'll never get this done.
I told him yes. He wants us downstairs by noon for the swearing-in ceremony.
I hope he doesn't intend to carve X's in our foreheads.
Ryan's got so many scars already, one more won't make much difference.
Hellstrom won't want to mark us as family. If we're captured in the anthill, we're not supposed to have visible connections to Hellskell.
All right, Ryan. Finished.
Ryan put on a new shirt, his last one.
We better request that our other clothes are laundered, or I'll be wandering around buck-ass naked soon.
Who'd notice in this place?
Maybe a clothing allowance is one of the warlord's perks.
Hellstrom's ready for you now. Leave your blasters behind. There'll be no need for them. The theme of the ceremony's one of trust.
Reluctantly, they did as he said. Downstairs in the barroom, there were 27 sec men standing in sloppy parade rest postures, aligned across the far wall. They were all gazing stone-faced toward Hellstrom. None of them appeared to be armed.
Ryan, hello.
Hellstrom gestured to Ryan to stand on the left side of his chair. Ryan complied.
Since our time is short, we'll dispense with the public ceremony and the ritual marking.
Ryan didn't ask why the time was limited. He figured Hellstrom would tell him sooner than later.
This is Ryan Cawdor, a warrior of superior abilities. He has performed splendidly in the service of Hellskell, in the service of our Lord Charlie. As patriarch, as keeper of the sacred prophecies of Helter Skelter, I name him a scion of the family. I further name him warlord, the master of all of you. His every command is to be obeyed without question, without hesitation.
Helter Skelter has come!